yesterday I was eating dinner with my parents in the rectory where we live across the street, of course. I can see, you know, St. Cecilia's School and the sort of playground right out the window there. And I noticed that there was, you know, a young teenager who was inside of the gate. And, you know, of course, there's a sign that says things are closed because of the virus and all that stuff. And I think that there's even another sign that says it's private anyway and you're not supposed to be in there. But so he's inside there, and then two of his friends come up on like skateboards, and then they're trying to like climb over the fence. And so I'm like, so I sigh, I get up, I open the door, and I'm just in casual clothes at this moment because we were working on the house. And I was like, hey, you guys are not supposed to be in there. And I believe his response was something to the effect of like, bro, why you want to be a snitch? Or something like that. I can't even remember exactly the words that he said. I said, I'm the priest here. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he proceeded to climb back over the fence. And so, you know, why do I tell this story? You know, authority is just a funny thing in what people are willing to accept. And I was just like, you know, and of course, I have to admit that I had a little bit of a response in my head that I was just like, you little punk, you know, just like in my mind. And I don't know, I guess maybe every generation as we get older sees the younger generation as little punks. But gosh, you know, it made me think about Jesus in this situation today as he's just kind of preaching to people. And you hear that those famous words that no prophet is heard in their native land. And another story that had brought this to mind was that sometimes it's very difficult. You know, the truth is in front of the scribes and Pharisees of the day, the truth himself, just like the truth is in front of Pontius Pilate. And people have trouble recognizing that. And of course, it's really no different at all in our day and age that when the truth is standing in front of people, they have trouble recognizing it. And one of the things that I often hear from folks that believe, I was mentioning to John and Deacon Chuck, just in the sacristy, I was like, the thing that I think that probably all of you and I struggle with the most is that sometimes I just refer to it as the river. It's like once you're on this side of the river and you believe, you're like, oh man, there's just no going back. There's just no going back. I believe, Lord. But many of us can remember what it was like to be on the other side. And it is really hard to figure out how to bridge that gap. Because I could preach these words, I could preach the gospel about Jesus. And those of you that are listening, and you hear practically everything I say, and you can repeat things that I couldn't even remember that I said. But there's other people who are sitting out there that are just like, what? You know, like they just didn't hear anything at all. And you're like, and how do you bridge that gap? How do you bridge that gap? And so I thought back when I was working at the Mac, one of the things that I had decided to do at one point in my life was, I was like, I'm not going to use bad language anymore. It was just sort of something in my heart that I was like, I was moving towards virtue in my life, and I had a great desire to do that. And I was like, this is just negative in some way. I can tell that when I'm using bad language, it influences me negatively. And in fact, I'd recently read from the famous exorcist, Father Gabriele Amorth, that he had said that even in exorcisms and different things, that foul language and, you know, cursing and things like that are kind of rooted in a lot of demonic things. They see that a lot in people that are possessed or oppressed. So he said, so it's a good thing to not practice in your life, to kind of eradicate in your life. So I was sort of doing this. And early on, nobody really knew that I was Catholic in my office. I never said anything about it explicitly at all. But I remember there was one pivotal day where somebody had, you know, was using bad language, and then they turned around and they said, oh, sorry, Peter. And I kind of turned, I was just sitting at my desk like doing my work, and I turned around and I was just like, that was really weird. I wonder why they apologized to me. And then like it happened like another day, and then like it kind of started to happen more regularly. And I had realized, surely by me not using bad language, was how they recognized that I just didn't do it. And it started to heighten this awareness in them that they were doing it. And that was one of the greatest lessons I ever had in our actions as Christians. One of the greatest difficulties that I know all of us have, every single one of us, me included, is that those that we love that do not believe. And so like, what, you know, and often it's like, Father, what do I say? What do I do? How do I pray for these people? You know, number one, I really do think the importance is to pray, because it effectively removes the person that's not cooperating from the equation in some way. They just don't know about it, right? Or you might even have people that tell you, oh, don't pray for me. You're like, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. And so, you know, it's between you, God, and that person. And so there are prayers, you're interceding on their behalf for them, even if they're sort of obstinate about these things. But secondly, sometimes it's not so much about what we're able to say. And we see that with Jesus in the gospel, that he tries to say things, and he does say them, but he doesn't say it all the time. You know, remember, there were great multitudes that were around Jesus all the time. And it doesn't say that he went out to every single one of them, but you know, the ones that he ministers to are the ones that call out to him. Again, just like the apostles, there's a recognition of who he was and what his divinity is. You know, Bartimaeus, the blind man, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He calls out to them in the crowd. The woman who grabs his cloak, there is an approach from them in his recognition of who he is. And so it doesn't say that he went out to every ignorant person and pulled them in, but they still were there able to observe his life by his example, by the things that he did. And you know, we know that he did many things. And you know, it says in the gospel, things that are not even recorded in this book, but these are recorded so that you may believe in him. And so that's the biggest thing that we can do. So really, if we focus on eradicating sin in our own life, then it's our actions, our virtuous actions. That's the thing that people tend not to be able to ignore, even when they don't even know that it's happening. Kind of like my situation, they just start to notice that you're living a life that's different than those around them. And that's really why actions end up speaking louder than words. And so that's what we need to be encouraged to do, especially for those that we want to believe in Christ that don't believe, is if we continue to work on our own virtue in our life and continue to eradicate sin from our life, then it's our actions one day that I think is going to convert a great multitude of people. It's often not what we say, but it's very, very much how we live our life. God bless you all today.